Good morning. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to James, we're going to read James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 7 to 11. We're talking this morning about procuring the power of patience, acquiring or procuring the power of patience. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. James says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets," I heard a little chuckle right there, "until it gets the early and the late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." The doctor's office is overflowing with people. You take a seat by this red-eyed, hacking man. You find that there is a two-year-old tattered magazine laying beside you, so you pick it up and you read everything in it of interest. 40 minutes later, you are still waiting for your routine checkup while absorbing germs from a multitude of coughing, sneezing, running-eyed patients. Finally, your name is called. Can you show patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, in the midst of all those patients, sick people? What do you do when you finally get into the exam room? Do you give the doctor a piece of your mind that you probably can't afford to lose about how long you had to wait? We were standing in line at the store last night and they were calling for extra cashiers. And the lady behind us became extremely indignant, loudly enough for all the cashiers that were working their hearts out to be able to hear about how upset she was. And, "Well, why aren't they getting over here?" So how do you operate when you have this aspect of patience needed? There are many other things in our lives that try our patience. Pokey drivers, a malfunctioning technological apparatus. Here's what I like, and I've learned a lot about toddlers asking why for the 400th reason with our granddaughters. All of us experience very frustrating moments, don't we? When we find it difficult to cope with the pressures and the problems of life and people. Well, James gives us some words of admonishment and things that we need to think about when it comes to patience. Let's pray first before we start. Father, thank you for your word. I pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and would also use your word to touch each and every heart here. Lord, we all understand and encounter the difficulty of being patient. But help us, Lord, to understand the importance of it and understand how we can have that in our lives so that we can reflect Christ-likeness more and more to people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. James says, "Behold, the Lord is coming." He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient. The Lord is coming is what he is saying there when we look at this aspect of it. James starts out by saying this, that we are to be patient until, notice this, the coming of the Lord, the arrival of the Lord. The hope is that someday, for us as believers, as Christians, Jesus is coming back again. We believe that that first time will be when the rapture happens, when he comes down into the clouds and meets us in the air. He doesn't actually come down on this earth. He meets us in the air and we are taken up with him. The next time that he comes will be when he comes during the tribulational period. And then he will, after that period of time, set up and reign on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the early church lived with this expectation of the immediate imminent return of Jesus. That's what they thought about. And they were plagued during that time as an early church with intense persecution. They had hardships that we can't even imagine or problems. But James reminds them what? He says, be patient, therefore, brethren. When? Until the coming of the Lord. So patience is something that should be in our lives all the time. James had earlier said at the very beginning of this message of the book, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Produces endurance, the ability to hang in there, or patience. You see, while we are not always able to fully understand what the reason for our trials are, there is a purpose in your and my testing. There might be reasons that we are given at difficult experiences that we need to have and develop patience and endurance. And that's what James is saying here. Almost everything we do, when you think about it, requires a little bit of patience. Not only do we need patience with people and with difficult circumstances, we need patience with God. Yes, we need patience with God. Someone once said this, the trouble that I have is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. Ever feel like that? Sometimes God's timetable is not the same as yours and mine. Some of the early Christians to whom James was writing were so eager for the return of Christ that they became impatient with him when he didn't. They were beginning to question whether or not their suffering was worth it. How about you in your life as a believer? Do you sometimes wonder if it's worth it all? Is living for Jesus really worth the while and the suffering that sometimes we have to go through? James says, be patient. Every Christian, here's what we're to do. We are to live in this hope that Jesus' return is what? It's certain. It's going to happen. We just don't know when. But the idea is that you're to be patient until the coming of the Lord. So I need to be patient in my life all the time. So when he's returning, I know that that's when the time will end. The sure hope of Christ's return is especially comforting to those who are undergoing trials and persecutions. I think that's why Paul wrote this word of encouragement. That's why we need to be in the Word of God, because his word encourages us. It lifts us up. Paul wrote this. He says, you know what? I want you to understand this thing. Your momentary light affliction. Did you ever see that? You know what that means? Momentary. It's not going to last very long. Light means it's not as heavy as you really think it is. Your momentary light affliction is a producing in you, it's bringing about something in you that's an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. What you're going through is worth it in comparison to the difficulty that you're having. So James now gives us what I see as three really encouraging examples of how people patiently endure. The first one is called the farmer. Anybody here know what a farmer is? Huh? I love this crowd. This is a great crowd to have with farmers in it. But the farmer, notice what he says in verse 7 to 9. He says, behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Patience, what? It really is, when you think about, you look at Galatians chapter 5. Patience is what? A fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. Something God produces in you. We are not to go around and say this. We need to, today I'm going to be patient. We simply must be acting patiently by allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that out in you. Patience isn't something you're going to drum up by yourselves. Here's the key. You're not going to drum it up by telling yourself to be patient. It's a result of daily contact with God, spending time in His Word, getting to know Him more, and by understanding and accepting His will for your life, whatever that might be. That's when you will be developing more and more patience. But it means spending time in the Word. James illustrates this idea of patience now by referring to the farmer. The farmer, who is he? Well, he's someone who works diligently. He obviously in the spring prepares the soil for seeding. He then plants the seed. I'm talking to the choir, by the way. Seeking to plant at just the right time. I was really fascinated this last spring about, you know, everybody's typically, they want to get in the fields first and they're out there to plant up, you know, and when they see their neighbor getting ready, they go, and I've talked about that. But this year wasn't quite the same. In fact, there were some of you that when you worked together, you really didn't always agree about when it was time to plant. So, you know, somebody had one idea and somebody said, no, I think it's a little too early. But you're looking for that right time when the soil is just perfect in terms of the temperature and everything is right. So you're waiting for just the right time. What's the farmer do? He doesn't just sit on his hands. He plants the seed. He doesn't, after he plants the seed, sit on his hands on a stump at the end of the field once the seed has been planted. Now, I ought to say there have been rumors that on occasions some farmers, maybe Jeff or Ron or Steve or Rob or Matthew or Chuck, might have been out camping in the field the day before the seeds pop up, just to make sure that they do come up. No, the farmer goes about the necessary work that he has to do after the seeds planted. And he goes about it with this, the confidence that the seeds somehow will grow. At the appropriate time, you may cultivate around the seeds to eliminate some of the weeds. And that today can be mechanical, but a lot of times that's chemical, about when to spray. You also begin to get your equipment ready for the harvest. So patiently, day by day, you wait over your plants in expectation that the harvest is to come. Now, as Ron said, you can't alter the growing season. You can't intervene in the natural events or the course of events, such as an early frost or such as hail. You cannot, as you've seen these last few weeks, you cannot make it rain. You must patiently wait. And why do you wait? Why do you wait so long? Because of what Ron said, because of the harvest. Because of the harvest. In the same way, we as Christians, James is saying, must patiently wait upon God to do what? To bring a harvest, not only the harvest of those who are to be saved, but also this, in your life, people, as believers, God wants to bring about a harvest, a change in your character to make you more Christ-like. He wants to harvest in you more and more of Christ-likeness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are God's field as a body of church. That means as his people in general. We are his, and we're purchased by the blood of Jesus. So you are God's field. We have been planted with and by the word of God, and that seed in you is to be growing. And God is patiently waiting for you to be able to allow his fruit to be seen in your lives. So we should be patiently waiting for him as he does his work in us to accomplish his purposes for our lives. You as a farmer, those of you that are totally dependent on the elements for the growth of your plants. James speaks of the great patience you must have as you're waiting for the early and the late rains. The early rains in Palestine, in the land of Israel, during that time that Paul's talking about, those rains arrive at the what we would call the fall season, August and September. That's when they start planting their crops. And then the early rain would soften that soil during that time. The latter rains that he's talking about would come in the early spring, which would be our February to April. Those latter rains, they come to help mature the crop, to help it to grow to its full potential. Without the rain, there would be no moisture during the long, hot season, oftentimes in between, as you guys have experienced. I think that's true of the spirit, of our own spirits, that there can be at times the experiences of life that are very difficult. Some of you are going through some very difficult times in your life right now. And if our lives were filled with sunshine only, we would be nothing more than a parched, dry desert. So God allows those storms to come into your life, those clouds, as it were, to bring that rain to be able to give you the moisture you need to produce fruit in your lives. In all the perplexing and difficult circumstances of life, know this. Here's the key. God is at work. Paul said, God is working in you both to will, to want to, and to work for his good pleasure. God wants you to be giving a harvest of of fruit for him in your life. Good days and bad days, there's going to be those. There's going to be sad days and glad days. There's going to be all kinds of days in your life. But God is producing in you a harvest. He causes all things to do what? To work together for the good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You are his field as a church. He's working in your lives individually to be able to bring about his purpose in your life. Be patient. Be patient as the farmer, as God works in your life. And then James talks about the prophets. The prophets. And if you're going through, I know some of you are doing the reading in the prophets area, and that's really exciting. He says, as an example in verse 10, brethren, of the suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So he goes from a farmer to the prophets. You know, we're not just called to sit around and wait for things to happen. That isn't true patience. You know what that's called? That's called procrastination or laziness. Patience involves work as well as waiting. It involves this. It involves proper endurance, not just a passive acceptance of the circumstances, not sitting around saying, oh, it's going to happen. No, that's not what it's talking about here. Patience is actually working through those circumstances. As Christians, we're challenged to endure to the end. You don't just go for a little bit and then you stop. You're to go on until the end, until either you're taken home or until Jesus comes back again. That means going all the way. Going all the way. Paul says, whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. You go all the way to reach that finish line. James says that prophets are an example to us of the blessing of endurance. Why? Well, they were often called upon by the Lord to endure rejection and physical suffering. The prophet Isaiah, and I know a couple of you are going through the book of Isaiah right now, but it's interesting that the prophet Isaiah was told by the Lord at the very beginning, before he ever started, God came to him and said, you know what, your 60-year ministry, the people of Israel, as you talk, they're not ever going to listen to you. Now, how would you like that, to know that for 60 years you're going to tell some people a message and you already know that they're not going to listen to you? How many of you would give up? Yeah, we would, wouldn't we? We'd quit right away. We'd say, wait a minute, that is ridiculous. 60 years of my life I'm going to spend giving your word out and nobody's going to listen. That is absolutely ridiculous. You would quit your job if you knew that there wasn't going to be any money for you. But Isaiah was faithful for 60 years to present and proclaim the word of God. That gave him no excuse for giving up on the proclamation of God's message. We have no excuse for giving up on proclaiming God's word to the people around us. There was another prophet by the name of Jeremiah. He was called the suffering prophet. And he was persecuted by those to whom God had sent him. They did not appreciate his clear and definite warning of impending doom, with the result that he was a very sensitive man. He was a very warm man, a very personable man. And because of that, he endured endless abuse. You read about the prophet of Jeremiah in his life, and he went through all kinds of abuse. And he is often persecuted and ridiculed. But instead, he kept continuing to fulfill his ministry. He did not stop. These examples that James uses from the Old Testament prophets, they should do what? It should encourage you and me to spend more time getting acquainted with these heroes of faith. That's what excites me when some of you are reading about the prophets. Sometimes they may seem boring, but you go through and you get encouraged by what God did through them. So they're heroes of faith. Paul said this in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, for whatever was written in the earlier times, as in the Old Testament, was written for what? For our instruction. That through what? Perseverance, that hanging in there, and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. But through our patience and God's encouragement in his word, we can have hope. The better we know the Bible, the more we know that God can encourage us in the difficult experiences of our lives and the lives of those that we know and love as other believers. That's what God is saying to you through James. The last one that he uses is a man by the name of Job. Remember Job? He says that Job You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Now, Job has kind of become a byword among even our culture today and our Western civilization. People will often speak of the patience of Job. You know, they talk about the patience of Job. Even though they don't understand fully what Job did or what happened to Job or any of the circumstances, they say, well, he's got the patience of Job. They don't even know where to find the details. But Job is a tremendous example of great patience. He lost everything. You go through and read that book. A group of us just went through it recently. Yeah, there's a lot of speeches and there's a lot of things that go on there that just seem to be endless, and our Western minds can't always fully understand it. But here's the key. He lost everything. His possessions, he lost his family, he lost his health. Yet in all of this, Job never denied God. He did not sin with his lips against God. And when his wife told him to curse God and die, he told her she was speaking foolishness. I would not advise that to you, husbands, to tell your wife that, by the way. But Job was just like you and me in this respect. He did not always take his suffering comfortably. When you read through there, he was oftentimes very upset about what was going on. And with ease, he did not always feel ease about it. He felt pain, and he cried out for relief in his lamenting. But although he lost patience with his comforters, and I guarantee you, I would have done the same thing if I had friends like that. Even though he lost patience, he never denied God, nor charged him with any wrongdoing. In fact, Job said this. He says, though he slay me, I will still hope in him. I don't care what it is you're going through. You can have that promise in your own life as well. Even though God would slay me, I will still trust him. I don't understand what he's doing. Job didn't understand the reasons for his suffering. He had the integrity to endure with patience. He believed God, although he did not fully understand what God was doing behind the scenes. You know what? We too aren't always going to know what's going on in our lives. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes, as it were, as to why God is doing what he's doing. But God does. He does. And we can hope in him and trust in him to enable to give us the patience to go through that. We too should not expect God to always act quickly because we desire relief from our frustration or from the pressure. And we must leave judgment in God's hands, not to be the judge ourselves. And we must allow him to do that according to his timetable. James says we should not assume the role of a judge to bring quick punishment on others. We often have that temptation to lose patience with people. And it leads oftentimes to sins of what the Bible would call vengeance or revenge and despair. But if we do endure, God promises we are assured of his compassion and his mercy. James says he is full of compassion and is merciful. So, how do we procure the power of patience? Do we just put up with your circumstances? That's easy to do, isn't it, sometimes? Oh, I'm just going to put up with it. Do you just grin and bear it? No, I don't believe that's what James is saying here. We must learn the secret of what? Combining obedience with waiting. Combining obedience with waiting. We must realize that God says this. Paul wrote to you and to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's what God told Paul. And that's what's true for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My mother-in-law has a picture on her wall with the following statement. And it's a powerful statement. It says, the will of God, maybe you've seen this, the will of God will never lead you where what? The grace of God cannot keep you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. We trust in his grace, even though we don't understand. We will be strengthened by him, and his strength will help us to face the unsettling conflicts and difficulties in life. Patience, as I said earlier, is what? It's the fruit of the Spirit produced by God in you. And it comes as you obediently trust in God with every area of your life. It's the result of the Holy Spirit's control in you and me. So how do we face the trials and the difficulties patiently? By realizing this. James says Jesus is coming again. The trials of this life are momentary. They won't last forever. God is working on your character and mine to make us more like Christ. And as a result of that, God's grace is sufficient. Wonderful promises to be able to be patient. As I read in the psalm earlier, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy will come in the morning. Be patient, because the morning is going to come. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand that you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, produce patience in us as we obey you and as we trust you. And Father, may it be a part of our lives. May we have that hope and that assurance that you're coming soon, and that our difficulties and our trials are just momentary, and they're light in comparison to the glory that we're going to see when we see you, Jesus. And to know that weeping may last for now, but a shout of joy is coming. And we praise you for that promise in Jesus' name. Amen.